Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is written in the 11th verse of the 29th chapter of Jeremiah. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. For many, welfare is an evil word, and people caught up in the cycle of welfare have little future and no hope. So we need another definition to lift the meaning out of the words of Jeremiah for us this day. Welfare plan. Some of us can remember when that was the stock name for the medical program of insurance for sick workers in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And when you got them 1,500 miles away from the holy city of St. Louis, where everything from cemetery to seminary are called Concordia, and people understand that that has something to do with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, when you get into an area where they can't spell Lutheran, much less know anything about synod, and some clerk in a hospital or a secretary in a clinic looks up at you and says, insurance. And you said, Concordia Welfare. And they said, don't you have insurance? We don't take welfare. Well, we need another definition of welfare if we are going to extract some meaning out of the words of Jeremiah for us this day. The word which is translated plans for welfare, you might have guessed, is shalom. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for shalom and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. But if you rummage around in the book of Jeremiah, you find that those words themselves were subject to different meanings. So it is precisely Jeremiah, the prophet, who is accused of being a spokesman of evil, because he dared to say that something would happen to the temple and to the people of God, and that they would be carted off into captivity as a part of God's judgment on them. And there were all kinds of other prophets around who talked not about evil, but who talked about peace. And it was Jeremiah's unpopular calling to remind people that they should not talk about peace, peace, when there is no peace. They should not talk about well-being and salvation and shalom when something just the opposite was going to befall them. And just prior to the text, we have that dramatic confrontation between Jeremiah and Hananiah. Jeremiah wearing the yoke, the wooden yoke, symbolic of the yoke which is on the people of God. And Hananiah had just about enough of this unpatriotic, non-liturgical, and non-religious prophet just stirring up people. So he took the yoke and smashed it, thinking thereby you end all the problems with this man. Only to have Jeremiah come back with a yoke of iron and to pronounce the sentence of death on Hananiah. And then you read on and it gets almost more confusing, because the judgment of God that they go into exile contains some words of shalom. He just told them that when you are in this place of exile, do not think you're going to be there a short time, but rather settle down, get married, have children, build houses, and look for the shalom of the city in which you are. Now, doesn't that sound terribly unpatriotic? Because you see, God's definition of what is evil and what is shalom does not fit our category. And so Jeremiah, by the Spirit, must tell them the word from the Lord. For you know the plans I have for you, plans for shalom and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And that will be an immediate kind of well-being and welfare from God. For the very paragraph containing this word from the Lord contains the promise that they will be brought back from exile and be returned to the land where the Lord had first settled them, that God would turn their captivity and again make them his own. But there's more. Because there is a day when God's welfare plan will find greater application and fulfillment. For behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with my people. Not like the old covenant which they broke, but a new covenant in which God will remember their sins no more, and there will be forgiveness for God's people. That is God's welfare plan for his people, to give them a future and a hope, and to take away the evil which sin and degradation brought upon God's creation. And in order to accomplish the welfare plan of God, the very Son of God had to bear the evil word from the Lord. He had to bear the judgment on our sins. He had to cry the cry of rejection and being forsaken from the cross by his own Father. He entered into death with the evil of our guilt. And in him, God pronounces a plan of well-being, of salvation, of shalom, to give us a future and to give us a hope. And by the power of God's Spirit in word and sacrament, you and I have been washed from the evil of our inherited state. We have been removed from the standpoint of God's judgment on our sin, and we have become sons and daughters of the Holy One by adoption in Christ Jesus. The word of forgiveness and of God's remembering sin no more is daily heard in our ears and in our hearts. And the message of forgiveness and life is pressed to our lips in the Blessed Eucharist. And God again and again unfolds for us his welfare plan, his plan of shalom for us, to give us a future and a hope. And he commits that message of hope and expectation and future to us as his spokesman. He says to people who are still hearing the word of evil, who cannot make sense out of life, and who wonder where God is in all this mess, God has a welfare plan for you too, a plan for his well-being and his salvation and his shalom. And he sends us forth, and particularly in this Holy Week, the threshold of which he stands, to speak such words of pure and unadulterated gospel in Jesus Christ, of God's plan of welfare for his people. That God has spoken his shalom and brought it to fruition and completion in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And by the power of God's Spirit, that word of shalom is applied to our aching and broken heart, so that for today and for tomorrow and forever, we are under the welfare plan of God, and we fare well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.